Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show. How are you this morning, everybody? And Danny, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. You always come in here smiling, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're okay or shitty, whatever, you manage to put a smile on your face, which is very important, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want people bringing their fucking baggage to work.
Yeah, you got to check it at the door.
Yeah.
You got to check that shit at the door.
Yeah, so we're having fun here. You know, yesterday I was, last night, I was going through some of my back shows with the like in the past 11 years.
Right.
And it's so weird, you know? I mean,
listening.
To hear myself. No, just this. Yeah. And but to hear about things that happened like years ago.
Right.
You don't even remember anymore.
Right.
And how the shows are different with each co-host, mm-hmm. you know? So it's pretty cool. Huh? We'll be able to listen to this one back, you know,
right.
one day.
God.
You should save a few of the shows so you have some.
I know.
But it's going to stay on forever, so I'm going to leave it on the website, you know.
Yeah, why delete it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who cares?
No, but besides people still listen to it, you know, and if not, at least I do.
So, yeah. Yep. Is today Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Today's like, Thursday.
Okay, it's Thursday.
Yeah, I didn't yep. say it, huh? Yeah, welcome to Thursday, October 18th, folks.
Yeah.
That's what it is today. A day after Canada legalized weed on a federal level, that means everybody.
Yeah, so it's basically like California then.
So you can actually fly from one Canadian city to another with the weed on you.
Well, California, you can fly with weed now. You can leave
LAX, that's what they said.
Yeah, but then it's like when you go to Logan to fly back, you can't have that.
Well, so... You mean when you get off the plane?
Right, yeah, like when you're flying back.
I don't
back.
Think they check it when they... Oh, when, from...
So if we leave LAX to go to Hawaii, we can have weed. Right. But when we're coming back from Hawaii to LA...
Well, that's okay. I mean, what's the big deal?
Right.
You know, at least you can have it one way. But I'm not taking a chance on this shit. Fuck it.
So I tried some new weed and I think it's my new fave.
Really?
Yeah, it's like because I've been trying out different stuff and like different brands and I've been trying different... What are they, dispensaries?
Strains and dispensaries.
Yeah, yeah, so a lot of them were giving me nightmares. Or like,
what?
Yeah, like every time I smoked, I would just like have like the worst nightmares ever. So I've been smoking Private Reserve.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you some.
That works for you?
Oh my God.
Yeah, good.
Best high ever.
Really?
Like giggles, great sleep. Perfect.
To me, all the strains are the same, so you got to understand. It's either strong or not strong enough,
right.
but it's never like a different high or something. For me, it's all the same.
See, like if I smoke sativa, I don't have the same high as if I smoke a hybrid. Or
I know. Most people are like that. I just right. don't have that sensitivity anymore
right.
to tell the difference. You know,
that's true.
To me, if I smoke sativa, it's uplifting, but it's not very strong. So
see,
I
yeah.
Like
I don't feel like I get high when I smoke sativa.
Right.
I feel like, what was the point of me doing that? I just like burnt my throat for no reason, like none whatsoever. But then when I smoke a hybrid, I get like really lost in thought.
Yeah.
And then when I smoke indica, it's just like a body high.
Really? You don't think it's just the circumstances that are around it? Like, you know, maybe you just sit back and relax when you're in the mood to relax. And, you know, things like that.
I don't know.
So, I don't know if the weed is making you do that or the other way around.
Yeah, maybe. And I guess it all depends. Like, I smoked a hybrid before I went to dinner the other night. But I was like a zombie for like maybe like 30 minutes.
Wow.
But then after and like during dinner, I was laughing so much. Stuff I probably shouldn't be laughing at.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because I was super high. And I like took pictures of myself and my eyes were like bloodshot.
Yeah, yeah. The eyes, you can tell by the eyes when someone's high.
For sure.
Yeah, they're kind of closed and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. So yeah, you know, but they're saying not an hour passed since it was announced legal. This guy was pulled over for consuming cannabis in a motor vehicle. So the police like published that ticket that he got. And they're saying like alcohol... consuming cannabis is legal, just like alcohol, and like alcohol, consuming it in your vehicle is not.
Right, that
so
makes sense.
So that's understandable, right?
But I will say that everyone in California smokes in their whip.
I know.
Like, you'll be on the highway and you'll be like, someone's definitely smoking a joint.
You see, like, a fucking cloud of smoke coming out of the car.
Like, nobody cares. Nobody looks at weed like they do liquor.
That's true.
See, right? I can't smoke and drive.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
I know, people, but a lot of people can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the other day when I went to Malibu Farms, he smoked the entire car ride.
Yeah.
And was fine driving.
Wow. You see, I wouldn't smoke driving in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, first of all, I don't want to stink up my car, so I never smell it, smoke in the car. But even if I did, the cops can smell it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's such a strong fucking smell to it. That's the biggest drawback, you know? You can't consume it without anybody knowing.
No, there's no way. There's no way. I was like, are we doing this right now, or...
So it was funny because when I went on the trip, I would just walk down, up and down the street and smoke joints.
Yeah, that's what people do here, even though you're not supposed to technically walk the streets and smoke.
Right.
Like, even at Venice Beach, every single person on that beach is smoking a J.
I know. But you're not.
But no one. But no cop is like, excuse me, miss. Please put your blunt out. Yeah, no, like nobody cares. No. But if you pull out a six pack of Mike's Hard Lemonade, you are out of here.
Yeah, right. Like, well, that's good, actually.
So crazy.
I'm not for a lot of alcohol because I think people do shit, stupid shit when they're on alcohol, you know?
Yeah.
And dangerous stuff. But yeah, so congratulations to Canada. I can't wait to see that day here. Although at this point, to me, it makes no difference. You know, if you live in a state that has it and you travel to states that have it, what's the difference?
Who Boston cares, doesn't have it, so it's like a whole different...
Right.
It's so weird that some state... Like, why is it okay in California?
They don't have medicinal one, medical marijuana
either. No, it's not.
Are you serious?
And there's like a lot of other states where you're like, you can't...
You
like,
still can.
Yeah, it's like, okay, how come one state in the United States is allowed to do that? Or like a few, but others aren't.
Right.
You like, see, why?
Well, but the thing is it's still not legal when the federal government is concerned. In other words, the government that's over all the states.
Right, because it's still considered in the same class as, like, heroin.
Right.
Yeah. Which makes absolutely no fucking sense. But no.
So.
Cocaine is crazy out here, though.
Really? A lot of people still do it?
Yeah.
Because you think, I thought it was something of the 80s that we used to do.
No. Cocaine is just like, I feel like
it's
everyone.
Like back or something. Because there was like, for a while, meth was like the biggest deal.
I don't really hear of anyone doing meth anymore.
Really?
Yeah,
so
like,
that was more like maybe the 90s.
Yeah. Like, I think cocaine is really big, especially in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Like, you'll just see like random girls going to VIP sections.
It's like a designer drug or something, right? It's like makes people feel cool.
I don't know why they do it.
I'll tell you why it makes you feel cool. You feel kind of like, let's leave everybody and just go and fucking smoke a little bit. Or snort.
But for what, though? And then they do like this all night. I'm like, it doesn't look cute. It doesn't fucking look good, okay? You look like an ass.
And your nose is red.
Yeah. And then their jaw starts going.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys look like trash.
Right.
But like everyone's on it, so nobody's looking... And anybody else, like, they look like trash except for the people that are sober.
Exactly, you know?
Yeah, I can't deal. I find it so unattractive. Yeah. I dated a few guys that
were
addicted
like
to
pops. Are we getting pops here? No, it's just my headphones.
Yeah, okay. I was like, what?
Sorry. It's like popping in my ear.
Oh, no.
Go on, sorry. So
I dated a few guys that did coke. They were like addicted.
Yeah.
And I was like, ew, how
it's
am I even attracted
to
you?
People, you know? It just makes them feel, I guess. You know, I never got that sensation from cocaine.
Mm-mm.
To me, it was always like I just felt like kind of speed, you know, kind of up a little bit. But
yeah,
I never felt like I'm like that I can do anything.
Right.
You know?
But have you ever had a conversation with someone who's on coke? They think they're the smartest human being. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
That's funny.
Yeah, like, please shut the fuck up. Like, they literally think that they're giving you like the world's most intelligent advice on the face of the planet. I'm like, do you know how stupid you sound?
They had such an enlightenment, you know?
Yeah. God, I can't.
Oh man.
And then the next day after they wake up from their coke induced state, it's just like they complain for 24 hours about how their head hurts and how they feel like shit. I'm like, well, no one feels bad for you.
Right.
I'm sorry that you did 11 lines last night.
Exactly. Yeah. No one feels bad.
No.
In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a guest on the phone, folks. We haven't done this in a while, but this guest deserved a special place here because I had to cancel him while he was in town, And we've been looking forward to meeting each other and everything. But we'll talk to him on the phone. It'll be cool. And he does some interesting things and stuff. Got a great story. So we'll talk to him in a few minutes. In the meantime, the weather is still awesome out here.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And you just can't even imagine how great it is. And but that was the same way for me in Oregon, although it doesn't stay like that very much. So I'm going to have to get used to the rain. But at any rate, did you know that Roseanne, there's like a spinoff?
Yeah, and it's going to do terrible.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, they're saying it did pretty well.
Yeah, because everyone wants to see how she gets killed off. So the first couple of episodes will be good.
And then nobody cares.
And then nobody cares. You're you can't have a franchise show come back without the main person. I'm sorry.
It's just like some bands, you know. I mean, most bands, if the leader is gone, it doesn't sound the same.
Yeah, and I don't think she's necessarily a racist. I think she just has issues. Like I think she's like on medication, and maybe that's just an excuse. Maybe she is a racist. I don't know.
But that's how they killed her off. Did you know that?
Yeah, and
like for taking opioids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I know.
I don't think.
And they didn't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna do. I don't think it's gonna do well.
You know what? I hope not, because I like her. I don't know.
I just feel like that's like bringing Fresh Prince of Bel Air back without Will Smith.
Right.
It's like, are you fucking kidding?
Yeah. What the
hell? Like, no one is watching it. Like, not a single person.
Exactly. It's not the same show.
No.
You know, I remember Two and a Half Men when Charlie Sheen.
Oh, I know.
It was never the same. But you know what? I liked. What's his name?
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great actor, but it's just like, again, didn't make sense.
It was a different show.
Yeah. It was like you started off like where they should have just canceled it at that point.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I love the show, so I don't mind. I didn't mind that they kept going. Like I said, Ashton Kutcher wasn't bad, but he wasn't the Charlie Sheen character.
Right.
He was a funny character.
I mean, he went off the Richter scale for a little while, though. That? Like, he needed to, like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah. Okay, here's our guest. Okay, so we got it all ready and everything, and we're gonna be talking to the guest now. Wait a minute, we got a little static on the phone. Good morning.
Hi, it's VJ.
Yeah, okay, so VJ, that's what we're calling you, because everything is V. So I thought, am I gonna call him V? But
no, VJ, please. That's just in writing.
Okay, yep. Good. So VJ Lakshman, right?
Lakshman is great, or Lakshman's fine. You know, like Lucky Lakshman. Easy way to remember.
Lakshman it is. No problem. Thank you for calling us this morning.
Yeah, and I'm on with Sam and Danny, right?
Yes. Sam and Danny it is.
Hey, Danny. Hi, Sam. Nice to meet you guys.
Hi, nice
you
to too. Meet you.
You too, and thank you for joining us this morning. And you were in L.A. last week, right?
Yeah, I was, and unfortunately we didn't get to meet, but I was excited. I love L.A.
Awesome. How long were you here for?
I was just here for about 2 days, but I lived there for 9 years before, so I'm familiar.
Oh, okay. And what, are you like on a tour or something right now, or did you just come to...
No, I was out there for a book thing. My book is trying to be... They're trying to option it for this animated... what's that thing called? Adult Swim?
Oh, yeah.
And so I was out there talking to a buddy of mine who knows that space better than I do.
Right.
And I also was, I'm a video game developer. So, out looking at what some of my other friends are doing in the video game business, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So let me ask you this. I mean, I was quite blown away. You were part of the Elder Scrolls franchise?
Yeah, are we on now live?
Yeah, of course we are.
Hey! That's awesome. Hey, guys. Welcome. Hi, Los Angeles.
Yeah, we're not like pre-screening you, VJ.
Oh, man. I must have that every time, though. My first job, crazily enough, was at a tiny, tiny company called Bethesda Softworks, which today is a mega behemoth.
Huge, yes.
And back then, it was six of us working in a townhouse. And I got it as a summer job, and I was on my way to medical school, and I got the opportunity to work on a really big title on a movie that had just come out called Terminator.
I think everybody knows what that is.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I just kept deferring my enrollment until finally I just, you know, decided medical school's not for me. I'm going to, you know, focus on this gaming business. And I ended up getting an opportunity to design a role-playing game. And the game I designed was The Elder Scrolls World.
Wow.
And I built, you know, basically probably five novels worth of backstory and the land and everything else. And
then everything came out of your...
Yeah, it was crazy. Huh?
So all the stuff came out of your mind. All these books. And...
In all honesty, maybe I set the table, but the meals that have been served now are from great, amazing chefs better than me, right?
Right,
I,
okay.
You know, I set a table for the first two, and then after that, you know, I had gone on to other things and other game companies working on other game titles, you know, huge titles at the time, And Elder Scrolls was pushing forward, and, you know, hats off to them, man. They went through some really dark times before hitting it, you know, really big with Morrowind. And then, you know, now Todd and the team at Bethesda, they really deserve a lot of accolades for just how well they've managed, you know, this franchise. And I'm happy, I'm proud to be part of it, you know, at some level. It's nice to look at the map and look at different things and see all the words I came up with and all the names I came up with still being used. That's great.
Wow. So you created, like, new worlds, right? Worlds that don't exist. That's amazing.
That's right.
And where did you get the idea for all these worlds and characters? I mean, I would imagine, because this is like similar to Lord of the Rings or something, you know, where you're creating a whole world, a language sometimes, right? A different language, different, you know, ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, where does it come from? I mean, your imagination must be like going wild.
Well, I was lucky. I was very lucky to have grown up in Bangkok, Thailand. And my parents, you know, I mean, we traveled a lot. I you know, I'm Indian by background, but I grew up in Bangkok. Then we moved to Wisconsin, Madison. Here's a funny little tidbit. I thought Americans were the greatest warriors in the world because everybody had blades they wore on their feet.
Right.
I had no idea that you could ice skate because I'd never seen ice or snow.
That's so funny. You know,
blades of the feet, yeah.
At first I was like, what is he talking about?
No, exactly. No, I literally thought ice skates were weapons. And, you know, I mean, whatever. Wow. Crazy, right?
Right. So you started getting ideas.
Yeah, but, you know, so exactly. Traveling gave me a lot of ideas. My parents encouraged me to, you know, always be thinking. And here's another little tidbit for all the listeners out there, right? So
right.
I play D&D, right, all the time. And my mother...
Dungeons and Dragons. Tell people D&D.
D&D.
And,
you know, all this stuff. And my mother used to tell me, that'll never get you a job. Study your math. Wow. Study your science. And literally... At my first interview at Bethesda, the lead programmer there said, hey, we don't really need, you know, this area right here, but what do you know about, and it was D&D and all the stuff I had been studying.
Wow.
For, like, ever. I literally got the job because of D&D. So.
Wow. So this was tailored for you. My God.
So, hey, this is out to my mom. There you go, Mom.
Exactly. There you go. You must have given it to her, right? Like, look at what you said. Wow. That's amazing.
So, you know,
well, this is cool.
It really helps. It helps to read a lot. I would say, you know, get out there and read.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So now, Mythborn, tell us a little bit about that.
So one of the things interesting about my background also is I studied the martial arts. I started when I was about 10 years old, and I trained for, I've been training for 40 years now. And when I started writing Mythborn, I was just impressed with how various different fighting and all that in the movies are great. They're really very entertaining, but they don't really look like what it really looks like when you're fighting. And so I was inspired to write Mythborn for, you know, two reasons, or they say you write about what you know, right? So three reasons. One, I didn't like the portrayal of women in, like, these chainmail bikinis always hugging the leg of some giant dude, right? I mean, like, I get it. That probably sells books back in the 80s, but, you know, come on. I didn't grow up with that. My mom is crazy. you know, crazy badass, right?
She's, right.
She like, and my sister is a doctor, and she, you know, I mean, I wouldn't mess with her. And all the women in my life, at least, they don't
hug men's
knees and hope to be saved, right? So,
right, like damsel in distress, you know?
Mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, the second thing I want to do is I want to write fighting the way that I actually, you know, experienced it as a master of the martial arts. And, you know, I wanted to write something realistic. And, you know, and finally, I wanted to write a story in which not only did I not play to the stereotypes of damsels in distress, but in fact, my story is driven forward by the women in the story. They are the driving force behind all things. And if you look even at the cover of the book, it's multiracial, it's ethnic. I feel the world today, especially with our current state of politics, we are being driven in a horrible direction towards isolationism, towards, you know, single race fanatics, and I don't think that is appropriate. So I wanted to do my part as an author and a writer to really put something out there that has women in charge, that has people of color excelling, and you know, and also obviously gives the guys some really badass fighting.
Yeah, yeah, wow. And you know what? The covers of your books are actually awesome, and so you got some good artwork on there, but I guess that because it sort of like displays what the story is about, right? I mean, you got all that like landscape in the back, and you know, and the characters and all that with swords and whatever it is they have there. Yeah,
I can give you the one liner, right? The kid, there's a boy who's training to be an assassin, and he finds out that his master has been ordered to kill him in 8 days.
Right,
and he has to figure out how to live in the next 8 days, and you know that starts this quest, this Lord of the Rings style sort of quest of him trying to figure out how to survive. And, you know, as he does, he starts to learn that there are such bigger things happening. You know, why do they order his death? That kind of stuff. You know, the mysteries start to unravel as to why this is all happening. So
wow.
I think people will really enjoy it.
You know, the thing is that I read a lot. One genre I never read is fantasy like this, you know. But this sounds like really, I'm really curious as to sort of like enter this alternate world and, you know, kind of go with it, you know, because I never experienced it. And I'm wondering, think about it. Like, you know, if you saw like, what's that movie? Avatar, right?
Yeah, I never saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, can you believe it?
You never saw Avatar?
No, I've seen like every movie on the planet but that.
Okay, you got to see it, okay? But but Vijay agrees with me. It's a different world, you know? It's a different like
it's all like all the Marvel films.
Yeah.
You know, like those are like, well, you're creating like in a whole different alternate like universe.
Right. Or like Star Wars and with all these characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Creatures.
All these different, right. Mm-hmm. Different species. You know?
I could definitely watch a movie, but I don't know if I could read a book.
Yeah. Well, he's got good news because you guys are working on a movie, right? Are you adapting?
We're working
this
on a bunch of things. I mean, I think what's been really great is recently we launched the audiobook. And the narrator, Michael Kramer, his voice is so good. It actually, like, I was laying in bed listening to my own book, which, by the way, my wife must have read like 100 times. And when she heard that voice and me listening to it, she like got all like, "What book is that?" But I'm like, "That's my book. You can't listen to it anymore."
Whoa.
So you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity here. In Hollywood, animated or television series, where we have these young kids who are coming of age. They are really, really talented in terms of what they know how to do. There's really strong girls who are kicking butt, you know, and like taking names.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, one of the reviewers out there wrote, you know, I expected to get into a book that was sort of like your typical save the princess and, you know, fight dragons and blah, blah, blah. But then, to my surprise, the princess doesn't need saving. She's saving the guy, and the dragons, they're assholes. Like, you know, like just fun, you know, crazy stuff like that. And you know, I was excited to hear, you know, that people are enjoying that so much.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's in the right environment and time as well because of King of Thrones, right? I mean, Not yep. King of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Yeah, I never watched it.
I didn't get into that either.
Yeah, because of the dragons and all that. But you know what? That's the thing. I really want to experience this for the first time, and I think I'm going to try it with your books because it sounds fascinating to me. I mean, look, Rise of the Adepts. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, these adepts are the martial arts guys. No, you're right. Adepts is right. So the Rise of the Adepts. The adepts are the martial art monk style assassins, and they have been in hiding for years. Because if you read the first chapter, when you read of the book, you'll see the ending of the first chapter gives a sense of the flavor of the book, because you just see wholesale slaughter, like people just get killed off.
Wow.
And what you realize all of a sudden is this is not your really nice fantasy world. This is a world where people die, and people aren't. In my book, people aren't good or all evil. Like, there's not some. I could never stand those books where, like, or those movies where, like, there's a guy with a pointy hat standing in a tower, cackling and like, I'm going to kill everybody. Like, I mean, who lives like that? I don't know anybody like that anywhere, right? I mean, you got to sort of like think about the fact that everybody has a little bit of good and a little bit of evil in them.
Right.
And I wrote a story with characters that actually act the way that's best for them, and when they act in a way that you might agree with, you'll think of them as good, and when they don't, you might not like them so much. But
end
of the day,
yeah,
they're real
not,
people.
Yeah, you're not really taking positions on as far as good and bad. You just let them be and surviving. And that's what it sounds like. A world where people die and fight all the time, that's about survival. You know, it's not like us mm-hmm. coming into an office every day and doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a world where you really have to survive. You
right.
know? And that's why, you know, they
yeah.
say that today life is so much easier, although people are saying, oh, well, we have a lot of violence, we have wars and stuff. But you know what? We've never had less wars and less violence than we do now. It's always been like, you know, you have to survive.
Yeah, I feel like when I was yep. in high school and stuff, in middle school, I feel like there was a lot of blood, guts, and glory back then.
Right,
I feel
but
like
you
it's
know
not
what?
Really happening right now.
But history was
Knock
written
on wood.
With wars. Today, war is the exception in today.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The same with famine and things like that. So we've made progress, mm-hmm. you know, and all that. But Vijay, I love these what? Books. Now, tell us about the martial arts a little bit. I wanted to know, tell us a little bit about that. So what kind of martial arts, how many years have you been doing this? Since
yeah,
you were
so,
really
you know,
young, right? You said.
I started when I was 10, and I trained about 3 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week for, you know, close to 30 years.
Oh, my God.
And then,
so you're a pro, man.
Yeah.
You lived
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I was ranked number one in the U.S. twice and also was a ranked rookie of the year when I first came out with my black belt.
Congratulations.
I have something along the lines of, you know, probably 30,000 hours of training. Several thousand hours in the ring. And, you know, I fought full contact. I always, you know, I grew up sort of training. And it's really interesting because when I wrote this fighting in the book and we started the first run and it started getting edited, my publishers came back to me and they said, hey, you know, the fighting, we're going to have to, you know, change some stuff. And I said, why? Is it not, like, exciting or, you know, whatever? He goes, oh, no, it's amazing. It's just we're going to get sued. This is, you're telling people too much, like, how to exactly kill someone. You can't write that.
Whoa.
I was thinking people out there trying this stuff, and they're like, you know, hurt somebody else. So.
Yeah, it's not your responsibility. You need to tell a story, and that's it, you know?
And, you know, but I think ultimately, you know, what I really, really enjoyed was being able to bring that training to the paper. You know, it's a gift, I think, to be able to write. I don't know why someone can write well or why they can't, but if you can write well, then, you know, I have an opportunity now to share, you know, with people the philosophies that, you know, the martial arts try and teach. And so I when I grew up, I trained for a really long time, and I ultimately realized something that I think is true in life and in many things. And that is, when I started training. You know, I learned really basic techniques like back fist or, you know, punch or front kick, like the stuff that, you know, you learn as a white belt or whatever. And then as you start going up in the ranks, you start learning these really complex, very difficult to execute techniques, right? And I thought, that's where the secret is. That's where you're blah, blah. And then years and years and years later, I finally make the black belt. I get to the black belt ring. I start fighting. Guess what? They're all throwing really simple punch, front kick, back fist, just all the basic techniques, but they execute them perfectly. And what I realized is, you know, life is like that, right? You ultimately, you can be distracted by all the different flashy things, but you gotta really understand that if you know the basics of how to do things, you're gonna be successful if you just stick to the basics, right?
Definitely. And
so it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing to me, and I'd love to see you do this, because haven't done it for so long, you must be like extremely good at it. You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, just like anything else, I mean, you're giving me numbers that pilots have, you know, for flying and stuff, you know, how many hours and stuff they've done this. But, you know, kudos to you for being able to do that, man. And it's paying off for you. You know, I mean, you have a lot. It gives you a lot of ideas about writing and how to integrate that into your stories and everything. So amazing. Go on.
I was going to say that I think that what's really been great is having built video games for so long, a lot of the techniques that we use in video game development actually help creative people control the impulse to just, you know, do everything that comes to mind. You have a system of how you go about breaking down how you build things, and I think that helped a lot in terms of writing a novel.
Yeah.
Definitely helped a lot.
Wow. You know, I have to reveal that I was part of one game franchise. I was a very small screw in the machine, but nevertheless, we were exploring. I was doing 3D animation way back then. That would be in 96 or so. And so I joined the team of Heroes of Might and Magic, if you remember that.
Yeah,
they were here out here. And so I joined them for a while, but that was a bad time in my life personally that I had to leave after a few weeks. We were working on creating dragons in 3D, you know, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And
that's one of my favorite games.
What's that?
That's one of my favorite games.
Oh, really? Wow! So yeah, you'll see
if
you Google my name, I come up as one on the credits of that game. So it's still cool.
Oh, that's cool.
They give me the credit.
I'll do that.
Yeah. But anyway, back to you, Vijay. So we have to run. I wanted to ask you what's in store for you. What's next now?
Well, you know, the audiobook's coming out. Book 4 is almost written, so 3 books are out already, and they're doing great. If people want to pick up any of those or read more about me, you know, we're working hard every day. So the latest news and all that is on our website. If you go to, you know, www.mythbornmedia.com, and it's Mythborn, MythBorn. Although someone did tell me I should also buy mythporn.com.
Mythporn,
And so check it out. And, you know, you can find us on Amazon. You can Google Mythborn or Vijay Lakshman, and you'll, you know, get all the information you need. What's in store next? Well, I have Book 4 and Book 5 to write. Book 4 is almost done. Like I said, we're 90,000 words done. So about 100,000 words is the end, and then I'll get to Book 5. After that, I think I'm going to either start another series based in the same world, but one based on technology rather than magic.
Right.
You know, I'm always building video games, so I have no doubt I'll be working at some video game company and building either, you know, mobile games or console games or something.
That's awesome,
that, you know,
man.
That will be fun.
Definitely multi-talented, and you're best at what you do in all that you do. Well, at least according to what you're telling us. But, no, I'm just kidding. Come on. I mean, I have a lot of respect for someone that's put in so many years into something that they love, and you really took it seriously. You know, I mean, I've never done anything that lasted that long. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the station we've had for 11 years, that's about the longest I've done anything. And here you are, you know, you've dedicated your life, you said 30 years to doing this, and then, you know, you get into your storytelling. I mean, to me it's fascinating when someone, after having written 3 books, is saying, wait a minute, this is not done yet, I still have 2 more books. I'm like, where do those ideas come from?
You know, it's crazy. I have more ideas than I have time to write in this lifetime.
Whoa.
Like, I can't think of an end to the ideas that I have. And maybe that's why I got into video games, because, you know, every time I'm on a game, I'm building something completely new in a totally different universe, you know, where 1 week I might be building a game, you know, about a race cars, and then, you know, a year later I'm working on, you know, a UFO game, and then a year after that a fighting game, and, you know, whatever. So it's like, I probably have attention deficit disorder at some point.
Yeah, here you go labeling, you know, but listen, you're amazing, man. Where are you calling us from today?
Well, I'm calling you from the East Coast. I'm in Washington, D.C. right now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and obviously, you know, I'm completely neutral to the whole political atmosphere out here. But, boy, yeah, it's all over the place here.
Yeah, so you're like really right in the swamp, right?
Yeah, I love being out in L.A. It was nice to get a break from all the news here and just sit and relax, enjoy the sunshine, talk to nice people, and, you know, read and write. It was really nice.
Good for you. Well, everybody, V. Laxman, yeah, and the website is mythbornmedia.com. Just all you got to do is Google his name, or better yet, go to Amazon and just look up Mythborn, and yep, all the books come up and everything. You know, I mean, just based on what you tell me and on the amazing art on the cover, I'd love this to be like a comic book series too, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You definitely
have... The guy who did the covers, his name is Raymond Lejin, and uh-huh, he is so good. Like, he did this cover in a week or a week and a half.
Wow.
And, he is, not only is he super talented, but he was, you know, on like Spider-Man Homecoming. He was on The Abyss. He worked on Star Trek Beyond. He's a really, really good, like the kind of artist I normally could never work with. But shout out to him, because yes, he recently helps me and we work together, because I think I gave him one of his first jobs in the game industry.
Wow.
And so, yeah. Now, you know, 20 years later, he's helping me out, and it's really been great.
Yeah, you know, I mean, to be able to visualize on paper what you put in writing is amazing. You know, it really is cool, and you're fortunate to be surrounded, obviously, by talented people.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we're all lucky. I mean, it sounds like you and Danny have been sort of killing it out there. I did a little research in it, and
really,
know, pretty awesome.
Thank you so much,
killing man. It.
Well, VJ, thank you so much. VJ, thank you so much. How can people find you on social media, real quick?
Yeah, you bet. So we have a Facebook page. I have my own page, VJ Laxman. I have a Mythborn Media page for Mythborn. I think I also have a Mythborn book page that you can find. You can go on. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. Actually, if you like to like actually hear me all the time, I'm on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel called Mythborn Live. And that's live with an exclamation point, Mythborn Live. And I broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. East Coast time. And you guys can, you know, hear new things that's going on in Mythborn. I talk about this. I talk about games. I talk about paranormal and fantasy and, you know, movies.
Wow.
And all kinds of stuff. So,
yeah, you're full of stuff,
YouTube
man.
Channel and you'll...
Yeah, you need a lot of outlets, I'm telling you. Wow.
That's right.
Well, VJ, well, you're definitely talented, a great gift to culture for sure. And we thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Sam. Of course. Thank you, Danny. I really, really appreciate you guys taking the time with me.
You're welcome. And, hope you have a good day.
Yeah, and
huge shout out to my peeps in LA, man. I miss you guys. All
yes,
of you.
To all of them, you know. And I just wanted to have an open invitation for you. Whenever you're in town, you're welcome to come in.
Oh, I
next
love time
that. We'll
I'd
make
love
sure.
To meet you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I just had to go out of town, but now we're back, so. We'd love to have you, but thank you again for contributing so much to today's show, and all the best to you.
You bet. Just and definitely we were on the air, right?
Yeah, we were.
It's not just for
you guys are the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Very cool guy, man.
Yeah, he has great energy, for sure.
Really, right? And mm-hmm. He does a lot of things. Can you imagine doing martial arts for that long?
I wish I knew martial arts, so if someone came up behind me in a garage, I'd be like,
exactly.
Oh, really?
Nobody
we
going to
do this
to
today?
Touch you.
Yeah.
Then, after 30 years, 3 hours a day?
Yeah, that's a lot. 3 hours a day is a lot for anything, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like on my phone.
Right. We know.
And there's this video and I almost started crying as I was watching it. There's a video on ABC of a woman running up to a random stranger's house with her kid, like dragging her kid with a bunch of bags full of stuff. And she left her kid there. She ran to her car and drove off.
Wow. Dropped the kid off just in front of somebody's door.
Random house.
Wow.
I hope wherever she's at, because they're trying to figure out who the woman is at this moment in time.
Oh, so
I hope,
this is right now? It's happening
yeah,
now?
Yeah, just uploaded right... Well, it happened last night.
Oh, okay.
But I hope whenever they find out who it is, they find her, and she's dead, because she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Anyone who could do that to a child... Like, this is my thing. Like, women are out here sleeping with men unprotected, not knowing that, one, you could get an STD, but two, you can also get pregnant. That is literally a responsibility you are willing to take when you're doing this. And if you are pregnant and you don't want the kid, you also have another responsibility to make. That's if, do I want an abortion or do I not want an abortion?
Right. But why even get to that point?
That's what I'm saying.
You have to decide, just put on the fucking protection.
That's what I'm saying.
It comes to.
So the fact that this bird brain fucking had a child who clearly can't handle having a child, like bring it to a freaking fire station, adoption agency. Where's the dad at? Where are your family members at? Someone in your family has got to love that kid,
right?
Maybe you don't, but maybe your aunt does or your uncle does.
That's true.
Oh, she's trash. I hope she's dead wherever she is.
Yeah, I'm sure she's got some cockamamie story, but the bottom line
is... No, she's booking it.
Nothing will fucking justify that.
And then she's like speeding off doing 100 miles per hour in her car.
Yeah, they probably got her on camera.
No, they do. The person, she dropped it off in a rich neighborhood, obviously, because the doorknob had the...
Yeah, the ring, the camera.
Yeah. That's the only reason they got footage. So the family probably opened the door, saw this little kid.
Yeah.
And was like, wow. Can you imagine?
Jeez.
I'd be like, all right, I guess you're mine now. That's what
it's like total shirking of responsibility, totally.
Right.
You know, like saying, I don't care about this. This is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to take care of it. I'm dumping it off here, and that's all.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
That story has like literally my blood boiling right now.
Yeah,
like, that's like dropping Marcellus off at a random house.
Yeah. So can't even imagine.
See ya, champ. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
You're like 4 years old, can barely like, you know, wipe your own ass still, but good luck to you.
Yeah. Tell me something. Open. any more? Where the fuck did I get the word open? Because I'm looking here on the screen, not really understanding what I'm looking at because I'm focused on talking really.
Right. What, Sam?
Of course I was going to forget. But you know what? I was thinking yesterday, you know, when we talk about something and then I forget what I was talking about.
All right.
The listeners might go, well, wait a minute. You were talking about this.
I know. And then we move on to something else.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because for them, it doesn't make sense when you suddenly forget what you talked
about. Right. But I can't even help you on this because I have no idea what direction you were trying to go there.
I know. And me either.
I'm like, okay. So let's talk about how by situation.
Oh, I know.
What?
I know.
What?
I was going to ask, any more texting from your dad?
No.
Nothing. Wow.
Yeah, nothing. He said, whenever you want to come home. And then I said, Dad, I haven't talked to you in 3 months. And then he just never said anything else.
Never said anything else.
No.
So maybe he was just saying it to sort of like...
No, I think he misses me for sure. Like, me and him used to talk, like, every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so, at least, you know what? He handed out an olive branch.
Yeah, basically saying, like, hey, I know I've been a dick, but when you're ready to come home, I got you, girl. But that's, I will say that situation with the guy that has made me so happy for the past 3 weeks, I think it's... Yes. I think it's donezo.
Really?
Yeah.
It's...
In 24 hours, I was so happy yesterday morning.
Yeah.
But I had a... I don't know if you saw my Instagram page, but I uploaded a video of him.
I did not.
I didn't add him, nothing, but I have like super duper fans on my page.
Uh-huh.
And they were all finding him. Like, I guess in a day, he like made his page private and he had like over 250 like pending requests. And he's... he just sent me a message saying like, I'm not into this. Like, basically telling me to delete the video. But for me, like, when a man is telling me to delete a video of him from my page, I'm taking that as if you got someone that you don't want.
Right.
You don't want to find my page. Yeah, so that's like a huge red flag for me.
Right.
But am I taking it the wrong way? I'll read you the message.
Okay, but wait a minute. Where do you feel you stand now? Are you guys, like, angry at each other?
Who?
You and him.
The guy I'm talking to?
Yeah.
I'm pissed. Yeah. He's probably chilling wherever he's at.
No, but you said he wanted you to take down the video.
Yeah, right? But he didn't. It's the way he said it that I'm like.
That's what I'm saying.
So he wrote me a message. I sent him like a picture yesterday because I got him. He's like, you. All he does is drink Coke. So I like got him a little six pack and I left it in my fridge. And I go, here, I know you like to drink this trash. It's in the fridge for whenever you come over.
Okay, so that's your opinion.
So that was like the conversation starter of the day. So he goes, then he wrote, I hope these people don't start writing or commenting on my shit.
Yeah.
And I said, I kind of knew what he was talking about, but I played stupid. I was like, what people?
Yeah.
He's like, the people tagging me on your pictures, 250 people that went to follow me to comment on my page about whatever you got going on, I'm not into it. So I said, if that's your way of asking, tell me if I'm out of line, okay?
Okay.
I said, if that's your way of asking me to delete the video, then just ask me to delete it. Ain't nobody trying to cock block whatever you have going on. And if any of my fans are finding your pages because they are super duper fans and probably just want to see what you look like. But if you're scared someone will find my page and you're on it, then say that.
Yeah.
So he responded and he said, number one, he has numbers.
Right.
Number one, you deleted the app from whoever commented on both the posts. Number two, I have nothing to hide. Zero. Three, I'm a private person. Four, no one is following me because my page is private. They're all pending. I'm not accepting. Five, bunch of comments referring to keeping an eye on me, blasting my page, etc. Six, whatever you got going on, positive, negative, dope. But I don't need or want any of these people in my shit because they're up your ass. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I think it makes sense. No?
Okay, but am I out of line?
No.
Yeah, I'm not out of line for being like, what's up?
Right. But I mean, I understand where he comes from, though. I would say all these things. Well, I mean, he would say all these things. Even if he had somebody, he's not going to tell you, yeah.
He's told me no.
I want. But as far as the other stuff that he said... I think that makes sense. I'm a private person. I don't want my shit up there. And he's right. You know, I mean, he put in not a picture, a video of him, right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. What if somebody did this to you? You'd be pissed.
No, I wouldn't.
Why?
I'm like, oh, that's me on his page.
Well, because you're an attention whore. But that's something else.
Hey, settle down.
I said it in the
nicest. So should I not be mad then?
I said it in the nicest possible way.
No, okay? I know. You said it with love. I appreciate it.
So listen, we're out of time. What were you asking?
I said, should I not be mad then? I deleted the video and didn't even respond to him. Like, I didn't even say anything.
No, don't be mad. Don't be mad. I think you should re-examine why you put it up there in the first place. Why? Why? Did you want to show him off?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I like to show off anyone that makes me happy.
I know, but you have to ask him first.
Yeah, I didn't ask him.
Right, so that's where you are out of line, I think. You know?
Mm.
Listen, if somebody did this to you, not somebody that, you know, I don't know. I think anybody, I mean, my brother says, don't tag me in your pictures. My brother in China.
Right.
Don't tag me in your pictures. He doesn't like
my
the
brother
way
doesn't
he looks.
Like being tagged either.
Yeah, he doesn't like the way he looks, whatever.
But you don't think that that could mean, like, I have a chick and I don't want her to find your page?
No, because you know what? In today's world, everybody's going to find everybody's page.
Yeah, and it doesn't even matter. Like, right. I don't need a video of him on my page for you to know that, like, I'm talking to him. Right. I really don't think so, because I see him, like, pretty often enough where I don't think he has a girl.
Yeah.
I would be shocked.
Yeah. That should be your only concern, really. And yeah, take it down, stay in touch, tell them I'm sorry. Or yeah.
I mean, so you think I should apologize?
You got to apologize.
Oh, I hate saying sorry.
So don't apologize. Yeah. So what you say, don't say sorry. Just say, you know what? You're right. I've taken it down, and I should have asked for your approval first.
Yeah.
You're not apologizing or anything. You're just saying.
I mean, I definitely should have asked first. I didn't. Yeah. I was so excited when he dropped me off from the date. I was like, bam, yeah, man crush
Tuesday.
But you
don't have to be sorry about it.
Yeah, lesson learned,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And we have to run, but we have to say that Megan and Harry are expecting a baby.
I know.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm, she's killing it. You go, girl. You get that baby.
You like it, huh? You identify with her, right?
Yeah, and everyone always, like, anytime, like, even when I uploaded the video, the guy, they're like, so you only like white men? It's really fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I like white men.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we'll continue this drama tomorrow, yes. Folks. And thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
Everybody, for listening. We got to run. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.